You may be seated. I'm going to ask that you turn with me tonight briefly to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, we're going to break into the psalm at verse 7. The psalm, after dealing with the command to bless the Lord and ending with the command to bless the Lord, the psalm is divided easily into three sections. There are the gifts that the Lord gives in verses 3 to 6. It speaks there of He forgiving all our iniquities and healing all our diseases. The third section is verse 19, dealing with the greatness of the Lord. So you have the gifts of the Lord, verses 3 to 6, and then verse 19, the greatness of the Lord. But in the middle, you have the goodness of the Lord, and that's verse 7 to 18. Let's read that passage tonight, the goodness of the Lord, verse 7 down to verse 18. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. Amen. May the Lord add His own blessing to this reading from His inspired word. In verse 8, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. David here is quoting from Exodus chapter 34. In fact, he alludes to that in verse 7. He says, He made known His ways unto Moses. You'll note that in Exodus 33, that's what Moses asked. Lord, show me Your way. And then he asked, show me Your glory. And when he asked, show me Your glory, the Lord responded by telling him that He would show him His goodness. And then you come to Exodus 34, and that's exactly what He showed to Moses, His goodness. He declared His name and showed His goodness. And when you come to verse 8 in Psalm 103, this passage here is a quotation from Exodus 34. David was very clearly thinking on the fact that God made Himself known to Moses, He showed His goodness to Moses, and He did so under these attributes that are stated here. Now, not everything in Exodus 34 is quoted here, but there are a number of things quoted here that would do us good as we bring this service to a conclusion. The Lord is merciful. We were thinking on that the last Sunday evening I was here. He is compassionate. He's full of pity. When you come to verse 13, it says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. He's compassionate tonight to you and to me. He sees what we are in, and He has a heart moved with tender affections toward our needs. He continues to go on in verse 14, for He remembereth our frame. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Here is a Lord who knows all about you. You and I have issues with this body. We have issues in this life. As we grow older, we know that someday we're going to leave this life. And the Lord is full of compassion. He has tender affections. When others do not notice or others are not concerned, He Himself is full of tender mercy toward His people. The Lord is merciful. Aren't you glad tonight you serve our God who is merciful? When we were thinking the other Sunday night upon this great truth that our Lord is compassionate, we noted that over and over again in the Gospels, both in dealing with multitudes and in dealing with individuals, it said that our Lord was full of compassion. And tonight, as we would worship the Lord, the one thing that you can be assured of is that there is plenty of compassion for you in your walk here below. No matter what your trial, no matter what you face, there is compassion and tender affections that the Lord has for His people. I was thinking tonight as Paul C. was speaking about his trip. Here we had trouble coming from the week of prayer, and the alternator broke, had to go back into the city, get it fixed. Took 3 hours to get it fixed. And I was thinking, I'm so glad I'm in America. The alternator would have broken in Liberia. I might still be there. The Lord is compassionate. He knows what you need. He's able to meet those needs. It may frustrate you at times, may bring you to your knees at times, may bring you to the end of yourself. But the Lord is full of pity as a father pitieth his children. And when you fall into hardship and when your physical frame can't take the load, the Lord knows and understands, and He is viewing and He has tender affections toward you at that time. You can't see the Lord. The devil would come and tell you he's not concerned, but this passage tells us differently. He has tender affections toward his people. You know what it says? That he's gracious. He's gracious, full of grace. A God who deals with us not according to what we have merited, but according to his favor. When you come down to verse number 10, it says that he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And that's true of every one of us tonight. It's true even of the unbeliever who is yet outside of hell. He hasn't yet dealt with you according to your sins. He has not yet dealt with you after your iniquities. Oh, he will one day, but he hasn't yet. And so in this life, there's common grace being given to you as you walk here below. But there's coming a day when he will make you give an account. But for God's people, his dealings with us are all of grace. If he gave us what we had earned in just one of our sins, tonight none of us would be here. We would be in the lowest hell, to use the language of the psalmist. We'd be under judgment. We'd be feeling the flames of torment tonight. And yet tonight we're found among God's people, and we know that when we're absent from this body, we're going to be present with the Lord. We know that when we leave the earth, we'll be in heaven. We know when this earthly tabernacle dissolves, we have a heavenly tabernacle that is not made with hands. Brethren, that's grace. Because you didn't purchase it, you didn't earn it. You do not have it because of anything good that is in you or in me. It's all of grace. All of grace. Then it says he's slow to anger. Sometimes that's translated long-suffering, as it is in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. Other times it's just simply translated patient. You do something to provoke him, but he is slow to respond to that. You do something that normally, if you did it to a man, might bring great wrath against you. And yet here is the Lord. He is slow to wrath. He's long-suffering. He's patient. How long did you sin before the Lord finally brought you into the kingdom? Any one of those years before you were saved, he could have cut you off. Justly cut you off. Justly tormented your soul in hell for all of your sins. And yet he was long-suffering, patient, waiting for you to come. There is a sense right now that the Lord is long-suffering toward this earth. We see that in 2 Peter chapter 3, where it is stated there that he is long-suffering, and that's the reason why the Lord has not come back. He is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has a people. He's going to bring them in. And he's long-suffering toward them, even though there are great evils that are being done in the earth, great iniquity being done, yet he is long-suffering toward this world because he's not yet done saving a people. There is coming a day when the long-suffering of the Lord will cease. And the Lord Jesus Christ will come back in wrath. And on that day, all of his people will be complete, and his wrath will be poured out upon the unbelievers. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and then it says he is plenteous in mercy, abundant in mercy. In Exodus 34, it says he's abundant in goodness. But it is the same words in the Hebrew, plenteous, abundant in mercy. This is a different word for mercy than you have in the first part of the verse where it says he's merciful or compassionate or full of pity. This is the word that has to do with his actions toward those that are his own, where he shows them mercy, not based upon anything that's good in them, but just sovereignly chooses to show them mercy. Again, if you had to earn your mercy, you would never do enough to earn it. And so he has mercy upon whom he will have mercy. And when you come down into this passage, it says in verse 11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him." As high as the heaven is above the earth. How high is that? How great is the Lord's mercy to us? It's infinite. You can't put it in any kind of a human container and say, there it is, that's all there is. It's enough mercy to take you all the way to glory. You'll never use it up. In verse 17, it says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him." It has no beginning. It's from everlasting. The Lord's mercy began in eternity past. It's always been in his heart toward his people. And the Lord's mercy will continue on into eternity future. There will never be a day when he is not showing mercy to his people. This tells us that we will be there forever as well, does it not? If he is showing mercy forever toward us, we must be in existence. You will be the recipient of his mercy for all eternity. All of your needs will be being met as the goodness of God is being poured out upon you. Because our God is indeed plenteous in mercy. He doesn't go on in verse 8 and speak about God's forgiveness. That is something that is mentioned in Exodus 34 and verse 6. But when you come here to the passage, he does deal with God's forgiveness. He says he hasn't dealt with us according to our sins. You see that in verse 10. But look at verse 12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Now, if he just said that he had removed our transgressions from us, we would rejoice tonight. If he just said, "When I sinned with my tongue, or when I sinned with my heart, or when I sinned with my thoughts, or with my hands or my feet," and he said, "I've removed those transgressions from you," you would have reason to rejoice. But he says they're as far away from us as the east is from the west. The east is infinitely away from the west. They just keep going different directions. Tonight your sins have been separated from you. They're not viewed as being there. Whether you want to speak concerning them being washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, whether you want to speak about God taking them and burying them in the deepest sea, whether you want to say that God nailed them to the cross and they're still nailed there, whatever image you want to use, God is telling us tonight that our sins are not being considered. He doesn't see them. He doesn't see them. At the beginning of this psalm, David speaks by saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, in all that is within me. Bless his holy name." Tonight, if you and I believe that he is compassionate, that he is gracious, that he is long-suffering, that he's plenteous in mercy, that he forgives all of our sins, then we ought to, with our soul, say, "Lord, give me a soul that will bless you with all that is within me." Of all creatures on earth, I have reason tonight to bless thee with all that is within me. It's one of the marks of God's people, that they are a people, as we said this morning, that pray. We could also say it's one of the marks of God's people, that they are a thankful people, that they are a people full of praise to the Lord for all that he has done for them. You were born in this country. Most of you. I was born here. And that's the reason I partake of all the blessings that are in this country. It didn't have anything to do with me, really. It had to do with the sovereign choice of God that allowed me to be born here. When we come to these blessings, again, you could say this has very little to do with what I have done. Well, I've trusted in Christ, and Christ has merited all these blessings for me. But even the faith that I've exercised in Christ was a gift given to me by God. God is determined to bless. And God could have passed us by in our sin, and we would still be on the course to hell. We would be still locked into our sin. We'd be still groveling in our sin, only to await the day when God cuts us off and sends us to hell forever. That could be our lot. It is the lot of many tonight. Yet God has had mercy upon us. You have partaken of His goodness tonight. And we can come tonight and thank Him that He is dealing with us not after our sins, but according to the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? If you died tonight, would you be in hell? Each one of us is a heartbeat away from either hell or heaven. Each one of us tonight. Come to Christ, lay hold of Him. Take Him as your Lord and Savior. Ask God to give you grace to repent of sin and to lay hold of the wounds of Christ as your healing tonight. He's able to save you. He's able to forgive you. You've got to come to Him. Come tonight and ask Him to be your Lord and your Savior. And if this night you say, I am saved, well, you are truly in a blessed position. You may not feel it at times. Your car breaks down. Things don't go your way. And you get sick. And the finances are undergoing a setback. You may not feel blessed. But God is smiling upon you tonight. You're the object of His compassion and His grace, His long-suffering and His mercy. There is no greater blessing on earth. Would you then from your heart bless the Lord? Give Him praise. Let others hear your praise. Let others know that you are one who's been redeemed and praise Him. Ask the Lord to make this real and powerful in your heart tonight, as David was asking the Lord to do in his own. I'm your servant for Christ's sake, and if I can help you in coming to Christ, speak a word with me. I'd be happy to spend whatever time necessary in pointing you to the way of salvation as is found in Scripture. Father in heaven, we are thankful tonight for your great mercy. We're thankful tonight for what we have read here about thy glory. Lord, show us the glory of thy goodness. Make it real and fresh to our hearts day after day. Give us grace to meditate upon it deeply as you gave grace to David. Lord, we pray that it might thrill our hearts and transform our hearts and give us great grace to praise thee every day that we're here below. Lord, we need thy help. It's so easy to look at circumstances, at what's going on round about us, what's going on toward us. Lord, give us grace to see what you are doing. Give us grace to see these glorious attributes of love and compassion and mercy towards your people. Lord, help us tonight. And Lord, we would pray for any here tonight that are yet outside of Christ. We think of our children who have not yet come to Christ. Lord, we pray, bring each one into the kingdom. Bring each one to yourself in salvation. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.